Inside Lacrosse Podcasts, the source of the sport.
Hey, everybody, this is Jeff Shannon with Inside Lacrosse, and I'm here with Josh Davey for our weekly IL Preps podcast. Josh, we are in what we are officially going to call week one of the IL prep season. There's already been a lot of good lacrosse played in a couple of big hotbeds already this year in the Southeast, IL Southeast, places like Florida and Texas, and then a little bit out west as well. But really, I want to say this is that period of time when teams in the Mid-Atlantic start going, and that's a big chunk of a lot of our top 25. You under honor inside lacrosse top 25. We'll also have a lot of teams going in the Northeast soon enough, and then finally Midwest, a couple other places. So really, to me, this is getting the start of the season. For you, what are you looking forward to at this point of the year?
Yeah, you know, like you mentioned, there's a lot of scrimmages going on. So, you know, we talk about that at the Division I level and 2 and 3. So take those for what they're worth. But, you know, like you mentioned, Florida getting kicking up here. I know spring break starts for the MIAA next week. So a lot of teams will be heading down to Florida to play teams like Ponte Vedra, St. Thomas Aquinas, Oxbridge, some schools like that. And then some teams from Texas, Highland Park heads out to California for a trip. And there's a lot of sort of Texas-California crossover coming up here the next couple weeks. And then once we sort of cross that mid-March barrier in the next week and a half here, you know, we really get rolling with a lot of primetime games on a weekly basis. I know, you know, there's some ones we'll jump into in a little more depth here recently, but some of our top 25 teams getting after it before this week concludes. So lots to go over, lots of exciting stuff. You know, the high school season is officially here.
Yeah, I wanted to mention, I mentioned some of the regions that are playing. We released our preseason regional rankings a little while ago. Already we had some big shakeups in those. The first one I want to mention is the IL Southeast. Our number ones and number two teams both lost this past week, which is not surprising. I think, you know, when you balance these out, it's a little bit of what have you done for me versus what your talent is coming in, and that's where the clash is early in the season. But the big upset was number St. Thomas Aquinas, who out of Florida, who was our number one last week. They fell to Oxbridge Academy down in Florida for a big loss there. I was reading up on this on Florida Lacrosse News, and it I forgot that this was a big winning streak for St. Thomas Aquinas. They had a 42-game Florida winning streak going on. They hadn't lost in Florida in 42 games. And Oxbridge, coached by Stan Ross, former Division I head coach in multiple places. I think the last place was Butler, and then did a lot of assistant work after that. Leading Oxbridge, a couple big performances in that game. You had Jack Killian for Oxbridge score 3 goals. Jerry Annunziata with 2 goals. Big recruit up for them is a guy named Christian Tomei. Their goalie made 8 saves in that contest. So big game there for those guys, and a huge victory down in Florida. Also looking at the rankings, Episcopal School Dallas upset Highland Park. That was a big win for Episcopal School. Tough loss for Highland Park. I believe it was by 1 goal. They're 1-2 on the season, and their 2 losses are both by 1 goal. So it's just tough. IMG Academy had beat them in the first game of the season, but really good Texas lacrosse. They're expecting a lot of that out of those couple programs there. So within the Southeast, that pushes Lambert, Georgia into the number one spot. They've been rolling. I believe they're 5-0 and just kind of romping everybody in the early part of their season. So a lot of adjustments there. You can check all those out on InsideLacrosse.com. In the IL West, the biggest upset there, well, not upset, but the biggest result there was that St. Ignatius Prep lost to San Ramon Valley, California, 12-1. Big win for San Ramon Valley. Always a good power. A lot of talent has come out of there. Most recently, the Frenches. I believe it's Austin. There's 4 of them. I believe it's Austin at Denver these days. But a lot of good talent. They have a new head coach there, Pete Worstel, one of the fathers of North California lacrosse, has moved on, and they have a new coach there. Something I'm going to get into a bit. And then also De La Salle, moves into the top 10 in the West because of those results. De La Salle's coached by former Virginia great Johnny Christmas. A lot of this, it's interesting, a lot of part of this season, one of our partners is 3D Lacrosse. And their intrepid reporter, once a future IL friend, Casey Vach, was out in North California this past week watching a lot of these games for results. He has a great article on InsideLacrosse.com about North California lacrosse, some of these new coaches that are coming through there. Definitely want to check it out. We're going to be speaking to Casey in a little bit, but just kind of, Josh, want to get your thoughts on some of those results.
Yeah, you know, like I said earlier, you know, teams are, you know, the motto, right, the cliche is you want to be the best to play the best. So I'm glad to see teams like Highland Park, you know, getting after ESD and IMG National early. It's cool to sort of test yourself and see where you're at. And I'm a big believer in, you know, learning the lessons against the best, you know, early on in the season. So then when they get to the meat of their season, when they're actually playing teams that are going to be competing for, you know, whether it's a state championship, conference championship, whatever it may be, you know, you're that much more prepared once you get into the meat of the season. So being that it's, you know, March 7th, we're recording this podcast, you know, like I said, MIA play doesn't even start for a little while here. So, you know, just good to sort of gauge where you're at. I think teams are still trying to figure out, you know, I think starters for the most part are sort of aligned up, but who's going to be that, you know, fifth midfielder? Who's going to be that, you know, on that second midfield? Who may get contributions from here? You know, and really just get a better temperature on your team. So, you know, love to see the early competition with some of the best teams in the country, and excited to see how it shakes out here moving forward.
I mentioned Casey Vach. I'm actually going to talk with him in a moment about his trip out to California and some of the other travel he's been doing out. Again, some really good stories out of there. But first, we have a little ad from Sideline Swap. Sideline Swap is where lacrosse players buy and sell their gear. Shop heads, helmets, shafts, and gloves up to 7% off, or snag hard-to-find college gear. And all purchases are backed by Sideline Swap's buyer guarantee. Head to SidelineSwap.com. That's SideLineSwap.com. Or download the iPhone app today. Now here's my conversation with Casey Vach.
So, Casey, you were out in North California this past week, checking out a bunch of different teams. First impressions from your trip out there, what was it that stood out to you the most?
So this was an interesting trip. This is my third year heading out to NorCal to start off the high school season. Actually, the second year in a row to start the high school season, but the third year that I've been able to make it out there to take in as many of the teams in the area as I could. I think what made this trip a little bit different for me is looking at some of the big graduations had by some of the major powerhouse programs. You look at an area like that and you see the loss, the graduation of all this talent, but then we're able to look at 10 different teams. And I think what really was a big takeaway for me, in fact, I know it was a big takeaway for me, was maybe not so much how deep and talented those power programs are or how much they reloaded or didn't reload, but it's you go further down the ranks of some lesser known teams and you've got Division I caliber players on those teams, either committed already or you look at them and it doesn't take a genius to figure out that you're looking at a kid midfielder, long stick midfielder, who can play lacrosse at the Division I level. So I'm impressed with the level of talent and the way that it's developed in some of the lesser known programs. And even in some of the known programs, you look at the skill set of the players on the field who maybe aren't the stars, and that's what's made the depth of talent go up, is that, sure, there you might be looking at a team who lost its star midfielder and attackman, and the kids that they bring back to step into those leadership roles aren't quite as good as the kids before, but that happens everywhere in every sport. But what we're seeing is an overall effect of the level of play being raised because so many more kids are playing the game, have played the game for a long time, had a stick in their hands at an early age, play the game all year round, are just lacrosse rats. You know, they're into it, they're fanatics, they're always watching it. And you can really see that that's had a major impact in addition to some other things related to coaching and program growth out there in NorCal.
Yeah, I was intrigued. And you can read, listeners, you can read Casey's story on InsideLacrosse.com about his trip out there, a lot of interesting runs. But you had mentioned in your story just the breadth of young coaching out there right now, just a lot of like big faces working with these kids.
Absolutely. the story of growth in lacrosse everywhere I go tends to be, as we know, it's a game from the Northeast. It has to come from somewhere. People don't just pick it up like a soccer ball and figure it out. Typically what I'm seeing is it, not just in NorCal, but everywhere I go, the places with explosive growth, and this is no mystery. This is not something, you know, I or one person has discovered, but it's pretty common sense. It's common sense if you think about it. People from the Northeast, the hotbeds, go out west or wherever, down south, and they introduce the game, they start a program, they take over a program, and they help it grow, and they teach it the right way. You look at NorCal, and there's some really recognizable faces out there doing big things. You've got Johnny Christmas at De La Salle, who's now in his third year, and in just two seasons, he's already won a title with the Spartans. You've got Matt Palasek, obviously a former star lacrosse player from Long Island who played at Johns Hopkins and later at UMass, family of lacrosse players, several brothers, three other brothers played college lacrosse. He's now the head coach at Marin Catholic, which is an interesting program sitting on some nice recruits in a really nice area just north of the city. He had been at San Ramon Valley for a couple of years. He comes over there. He takes over. Mike Kruger, who played lacrosse at Calvert Hall, went on to play at Fairfield, four-year starter, coached at UVM. He's now out at San Ramon Valley, has taken over for Peter Worstell. And speaking of that, last night they secured a massive win. I believe it was 12-1 over St. Ignatius Prep, sort of a shocking result, but really not too shocking to me because I was following this the last week, seeing how these things are sort of playing out. And then you've got Chris Rotelli. Obviously, he's been out there doing work for a long time. He's at Sacred Heart Prep. And we saw him the last 2 years. We actually didn't get a chance to see him this year. But there's another coach who's deeply involved in the game and teaching it all year round and has a big impact on the area. You know, you look at these coaches and what they're doing, and it's really clear that guys who grew up in the modern era and the way that they're able to teach the game and connect with these young kids, because let's face it, all the guys I mentioned are pretty young, especially somebody like Johnny Christmas. He's got a great personality on the sideline. Other coaches pointed that out. He's great with kids. Matt Palasek, I think, is great with kids. I've spent some time with him. And so it's just really cool to see it. That's the way that the game gives back to the people that played it. And, you know, not to sound corny, and that's the way that these guys are giving back to the game and creating a life around lacrosse. It's sort of something I admire as I get to go around the country and see these guys that are sort of out in areas where lacrosse isn't the main sport or as popular as it is on Long Island and Syracuse and Baltimore and Philly and New England. And these guys have helped create a culture of lacrosse. Talking to Matty Palasek, you know, for the article that I wrote, he just pointed out, he said, I'm not getting into a debate about specialization, but the fact of the matter is that there's a bunch of kids in all of these non-traditional hotbeds who picked up the sport, and for whatever reason, they play it all the time. It is a lifestyle sport, and just as a 36-year-old man, I can tell you that it might sound goofy, but I still have a stick in my hand all the time. I'm not claiming to be good at it, but I all the time, and it's a lifestyle thing, and all these kids have bought in. And so in addition to having great resources around them at some of these programs, whether it's facilities, existing weight programs or weight training facilities, an existing culture of sports and winning, which is the case at De La Salle for football, and Peter Worstell at San Ramon Valley created a strong program there where they won titles. And so you inject these young, energetic coaches with sort of a new eye for the game and who played it at a high level. You know, these are guys that are college All-Americans, some of them. Rotelli was a Tourton winner. You've got Kruger, started for 4 years at Fairfield. I mean, these guys have a lot of knowledge to bring to the game and inject it into these areas that really want it, arguably more than hotbed kids, because it's so new to them and they're so, in ways, isolated from the where the sport is still sort of growing from, if that makes sense. And so it's just been really exciting to see that, to go connect with those coaches, see them in action. So to see some of them have their ups and downs to start the year and then track them the rest of the year, it's been a blast.
You mentioned some of the talent. Who are a couple of kids? And I know we'll have much more extensive list of kids on the website, but who are a couple of kids that fans of lacrosse, Division I lacrosse, high school lacrosse, should keep an eye on for 2018 out of NorCal?
The first name I have to mention is Cole French. Cole is an outstanding goalie at San Ramon Valley, evidenced by his performance last night against St. Ignatius Prep, 13 saves, just an incredible leader, yes sir, no sir type kid. One of the things that I'll admit that I love about what I've been able to do is I won't lie. I definitely take a lot in when I'm on a sideline or near sidelines or on the field about a kid's personality. And I think the French kid just has the most incredible, you know, mature, level-headed approach to the game, and he's somebody that the players around him can buy into. So not only is he an excellent shot stopper and a proven shot stopper who's been playing for a long time, but he just has this personality that sort of I think kids can buy into and get behind. You really got to respect that. Going sort of in another direction, to a lesser known program, just to kind of highlight what I refer to as this, you know, surprising depth, meaning you can show up to these games where you don't really expect, being honest, you don't totally expect to show up and see Division I caliber talent. Well, you show up to a game and watch Redwood High School play Casa Grande, and I'm literally blown away by a midfielder. And I had been told he played a little bit of attack. He looks more like a midfielder to me, and in the half I saw, it was clear that he was running out of the box. His name's Harry Hetrick, midfielder at Redwood. Just an incredibly fluid, athletic, seemingly dual-handed athlete of a midfielder. I jokingly was referring to him as Limber over and over to one of my friends, and obviously there's a connection there. He's the son of the man who founded the TRX training system, but and, you know, not to be silly and play off of that, but it clearly looks like this kid's done that a lot. Just an incredible athlete, really was able to grab the ball on the run. He cut to space, has good size. He looked like he's 6'1", maybe 6'2", slender but strong. Just the sort of California athlete that if you're a D1 coach and you got to go out there and just take a peek, you'd see him and go, ooh, you know, we got to get this kid to a prospect camp or see more film on him, see him play against some higher level teams and see what he does, see him in a showcase scenario, whatever it is. Harry Hetrick, really impressive midfielder playing for Redwood. We watched him against Casa Grande. I had to leave at the half to get to another game that was on my schedule, and I came back to find out that Harry put up something like 5 goals in that game. I saw him score a couple, and they were impressive. It's just cool to see these athletic kids who are able to let their minds think about the stick and not, or maybe I'm not saying that right, but I guess the difference between players nowadays and when I was playing in high school is that even if you were really athletic, you really had to worry about what the ball was doing in your stick. And I don't want to go too far down the rabbit hole, but I've always believed that one of the big reasons that lacrosse is growing the way that it is because of stick technology, mesh technology, and watching lacrosse out there, it sort of supports that to me, because I don't think there's too many people other than, you know, these experienced few coaches who can introduce a kid to a lacrosse stick and, really, really teach them stick handling. That's something you really have to develop on your own. And the difference between a lacrosse stick nowadays and a lacrosse stick in the 90s is that you can literally buy one off the rack now that will allow you to pretend you're Casey Powell, I'll say. You might not be Casey Powell, but those sticks help you get halfway through the stick skills part of it. And so it's exciting. You can go to California, and these kids have not only had the stick in their hands longer than I did as a kid or other, you know, more real players, but these kids have these sticks that are really helping them accelerate their skills, allowing them to focus on things like dodging and movement on the field and not getting hung up on feeling the ball in their stick. Let's put it that way. And so I tangented on you a little bit there, but when I saw Harry Hetrick play, I thought of that. He had the all blacked out stick, and it just looked like he had, you know, no concern about catching the ball, right? Just cutting the space, catching it and zipping it. Really impressive. And then to hit on a couple other kids, you know, in that same game, what was really cool was to see Ian McKissick, who's a midfielder committed to Cleveland State. You know, here's a lesser known lacrosse player. And in just, you know, 20 minutes of maybe not even that 15 minutes of watching this kid play, I see him make a great play where he sets up his defender at the top of the box, stutter steps to the inside, kind of hitches, gets to the middle and just cranks this nasty left-handed blast. I leave only to find out through you guys posting the video that he later would catch the ball, cut through the center, take a check, move his hand, move the stick to one hand and simply slam it with one hand on the stick. So it's just really cool to be able to show up to these games and see these kids playing really well, college commits, when you don't really expect to find them.
Casey, just one quick outro. I know you're on the road again this week. What, where are you headed to? What should we be looking for out of your next trip?
I'm leaving Thursday at some point when I can get my stuff together, and I'm going to get on the road and head down to Raleigh, North Carolina, the Raleigh-Durham area, where for something like the fourth year in a row, I'll be covering the King of Spring. It's a great event that my friend Chip Mayer and John Lancey have been working on for a long time. It's John Lancey's event, but Chip has been really helpful about getting me down there and helping me map out a plan for every weekend that I've been there. The great thing about this event is that, let's be honest, it's still crappy weather here in Maryland. Can I say crappy? I'm sorry I said it. But last night we got a snow dump here in Annapolis. And frankly, as an upstater, I feel I've put in the work and I've taken my snow for a lifetime. I've taken my shots and I'm all set on the snow. And so as a kid from Maryland, I can imagine that you're a little antsy to get out on the field at this point. So it's really cool to see some of the, a few powerful programs from the Mid-Atlantic, Maryland and Virginia, head down to North Carolina. Then you've also got this influx of teams that come from Georgia. There's some Florida teams. In the past, there's been some Texas teams. There's a Texas team this year. Westlake out of the Austin region will be there. St. Mark's from Texas will be there. It's just this excellent opportunity to see some of the very best from the southern Atlantic states, the southeast, some of these teams. So you've got this weekend, for example, there's Apex High School out of North Carolina. There's Lake Norman out of North Carolina. Northwest Guilford out of North Carolina. Middle Creek, you know, these are names that you obviously your ears perk up to because you know that they've got some players and they have a tradition of excellence. I get really fired up about being able to see a team like Wando out of South Carolina. I went down last year with very little expectations for what I would see, and I leave the Wando game pretty fired up knowing that they have a bunch of kids who should be D1 recruits in my eyes. Not that I'm an expert on this, but you see certain kids and then you see other kids who are committed and you say, well, why isn't this kid committed? And there were numerous kids on the Wando roster last year. And I don't have that roster in front of me, but there were some excellent players who, if I was a college coach, I would try to have a set of eyes on that team. It's just a great mix. You've got Ponte Vedra out of Florida, Calvert Hall out of Maryland. I look forward to getting down there and connecting with those guys. Just an incredible staff and just have a lot of respect for them, and it's been fun to meet them there to start the year when they're a team from my backyard in some ways. Westminster out of Georgia. Virginia sends a couple of really cool programs down there. So you've got Paul VI, Cape Henry Collegiate, and typically Norfolk Academy has been down there. I don't think they're there this year unless I'm missing them on my list, but I'm looking at my condensed schedule at the moment. So it's a great mix of teams in a great spot with a great culture for sports. Obviously the last few years, there's been college games that match up with these games. This year, I think it's women's games that will match up. Still hoping to someday maybe get a basketball game squeezed in at Duke or UNC, but I don't think it matches up well with the ACC tournament. But just a great time, great event put on by John and Chip's just a good friend of mine. I love to get down there with, he knows so much about lacrosse and he kind of stays by my side during the trip. And I learn a lot about the area and the players, and it's been great.
Awesome, Casey. Well, we're looking forward to your coverage from that, and safe travels on the road.
Hey, thanks a lot, Jeff. Thanks for having me.
No problem.
Josh, I had asked you before the podcast to pick three games that you're looking forward to this next week. Want to get your thoughts about some of the contests coming up, and what are you looking forward to the most?
Yeah, so, as we look at our Under Armour Top 25 rankings, a couple of matchups that are intriguing to me this week that I'm going to be keeping my eyes on, a game that was scheduled for today, but due to some weather sweeping across the Mid-Atlantic and more severely in the Northeast, was scheduled for today. Boys Latin is hosting number 10 Boys Latin Maryland, hosting number 23 Haverford, Pennsylvania. Again, the first really big battle for both of these teams. BL on offense, headlined by sophomore standout Brendan Grimes, who was an Ohio State commit. Big lefty attackman, dominated the Under Armour underclass games this past summer. And then Matt Brandau on attack, who is a Yale commit, who we saw at the Committed Academy this past summer as well. Two, arguably could be two, first team All-Americans at the end of the year, right? I mean, these are two guys who are Really great at their craft, right? Like I mentioned, Grimes, a big lefty, kinds of like to sweep across that front, looking for a shot, and Brandow sort of the quarterback of that offense. So I'm looking forward to seeing how those two sort of react together against the Haverford team that I think, if you ask Coach Nostrand, should be rated higher. But, you know, right now that's where we have them based on what they have coming back. Peter Garneau was sort of like the headline for them coming back. An awesome midfield, a great shooter for them who is going to be headed to Charlottesville and a UVA commit. So that game is going to be played on March 8th, March 9th. Landon plays St. Paul's. Landon is number 11 in our ranking. They just had a one-goal victory over PVI on Tuesday. So I think Landon is a team with a loss of Justin Chockey. Specifically, they still have Joey Epstein on attack, but I think is a team that I expect to take a couple steps back after being a co-national champion last year. You know, not taking anything away from PVI. They have some great pieces down there. Coach Bob Waters has done a great job. St. Paul's is, you know, the last couple of years has been the sort of the middle of the pack team in the MIA. New coach Trey Whitty has taken over the reins there with the retirement of Coach Mercado. So I'm anxious to see, you know, what flavor he brings to that team and with his, as he puts his stamp on that Crusader program, how they look. But I do expect both those teams to, you know, Landon take a couple steps back from being number one last year. While St. Paul's, I think, will continue to be sort of a middle of the pack MIA team, but you know, that conference is a gauntlet, as we all know. And then getting away from the Mid-Atlantic, shifting out to West, we had already mentioned Highland Park. Torrey Pines, number 25 in our UAIL rankings this year. They have played the last couple years in that Texas West Coast swing I mentioned earlier. A couple guys for Torrey Pines really like Evan Egan is a defender going to UNC. Michael Mines is a midfielder from who's going to Maryland. So, you know, especially with Mines, Highland Park, Kate Sostad, I know we mentioned Dan and you had mentioned him last week on the podcast. So they lost that one goal game to IMG National and then to ESD, as we alluded to earlier. So, you know, like we talked about, some of the best teams getting after each other early. You know, once we sort of get into that next week, we're getting, you know, Tuesdays, Friday, Monday, Wednesday, you know, big games all over the country. So those are the three that I have circled on my calendar. Make sure you're checking out all the scores, though, on the IL scoreboard. You know, we've added the scoreboard this year where you can report scores and schedules. So, you know, as you are looking for these games and a lot of others, make sure you're checking out everything IL's pushing out this week.
One game I did want to bring up, not in the top 25, but I think of utmost importance, Stoneman Douglas, Florida. The boys team plays their first home game Friday night. I know they've been kind of shuffling around when that was going to happen, but the last I had heard, it was going to be Friday night. It's their first home game after the devastating school shooting that happened in that area a few weeks ago. There's been a lot of reporting about the area, a lot of reaching out to the kids. I know the girls have already played their first home game and it seemed to be a very cathartic experience. And this, I'm sure, will be that also to get these guys back on the field to play, to be around their community and families, and to have something to look forward to on the playing field. So it'll be interesting. Lee Roggenberg from Florida Lacrosse News has kind of been all over covering the lacrosse community in the wake of that tragedy. I've been working with him on some stuff. I'll be intrigued to hear his report, read his report, and also just hear from the community in general about that moment.
Yeah, Ryan Burton, the head coach of Stoneman Douglas, I've worked with in the past through IL events and just in other sort of partnerships with some stuff we've done down in Florida. He runs the Florida National program. He's an amazing guy, and I'm friends with him on Facebook, and, you know, I'm trying to keep some distance as there's a lot going on down there right now. But just from the stuff I've seen on Facebook and the support of the lacrosse community, it's crazy and how lucky we are to be a part of this community, to have, you know, guys like Lee who are going so in-depth on a program that certainly deserves some eyeballs this year for a lot of reasons. But Coach Burton has done an awesome job down there, and we're certainly, you know, pulling for them this season.
Yeah, definitely. And I'm just, again, looking forward to just hearing what comes out of such a cathartic experience. Josh, thank you very much for your time today. I know you have your season kicking off, head coach of Park School in Baltimore, the fighting Class Bs. A lot of Class B guys around this office, so looking forward to seeing that as well. Thanks again.